Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for September 21st. I'm Mike, and with me, as always, is Edge Guy. We got Tokyo Game Show going on this week, so it's easy to say we got a lot to talk about. There's also a certain Xbox 360 game coming out next week, which we got to talk about. Besides that, you know, we start with news, go on to the best ever, our week in gaming. I talk about what I've been doing in Final Fantasy, and then we talk about the downloadable games coming out, and then the weekly game releases. And that'll take us through the whole show.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, there you are. All right.
yeah, here I am.
Hi. Okay. All right. You got some Tokyo Game Show stuff for us?
I got Tokyo Game Show and then some, so I'll save the TGS
stuff
for last.
And then some?
There was stuff earlier in the week because it
like
just
what?
Started.
Well, let's hear this other stuff.
I got some things.
I'll tell you how important this other stuff is.
It's important. Well, the first one, we start off with a little lighter story, but this is something I find cool.
Oh,
the website Overclocked Remix that a lot of people may be familiar with.
Oh, wait, this is cool.
It's a community-supported site. They just put out game remixes of game soundtracks. They just released a project that was years in the making. It's called Final Fantasy VII Voices of the Lifestream. It contains over 45 tracks by 40 different artists. It covers almost every song from the Final Fantasy VII soundtrack remixed. And it's really worth checking out. There's some really good tracks on there. So if you head over to ocremix.org, they'll have a link over to it. You just get it off a torrent. It includes the MP3s, the waves, and all the album covers and CD labels and stuff. So a really cool package, and it's really cool to see that this finally came together.
All right. It's really cool and everything, right? Mm-hmm. My only complaint is that Final Fantasy VII is already the most remixed soundtrack on OC Remix.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the fact that it is so popular is why they went with this one, and maybe it'll lead to them doing other Final Fantasy games. I mean, this is not the first big community project they've done. I know they did a Chrono Trigger one, they did a Metroid one, so, I mean, there's going to be more of these coming.
Right. No, it's great. It's very good. Good to see.
Yeah. Then Reuters is reporting that, as expected, George Harrison, the Senior Vice President of Marketing and Corporate Communications, is leaving Nintendo effective at the end of December after a 15-year run with the company. As you know, Nintendo is closing their marketing department in Seattle to relocate them to California, New York, where most of the journalism is located, and he does not wish to relocate, so he will be leaving the company.
Well, best of luck to him. This probably really has absolutely zero effect on consumers.
Yeah, but it's just interesting to note. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Wii, Sega has announced that Knights on the Wii will feature two-player support and online support, but they haven't specifically said if the two go hand-in-hand, and I'm hoping they do, because online co-op in Knights would just be awesome.
Do you see the even most recent trailer now?
Yeah.
It had a lot of CG and stuff. It shows gameplay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks very promising.
I'm excited.
Looks like Knights.
And keeping on the subject of the Wii, Mercury News ran an interview with Reggie Fils-Aimé, and according to him, the Wii shall flow this holiday season. They said they have an unprecedented supply coming for the holidays, bigger than launch, bigger than anything they've done. But he still warns they're going to be hard to get.
Well, they will be, just because, I mean, it's still a really popular system.
It makes me wonder, though, if they're holding back supply now so that they have a lot to have at Christmas time.
Well,
and
maybe.
That way they could have huge numbers at Christmas.
Well, I mean, you say have huge numbers, like, the only, like, you want huge numbers just like you have numbers to shove into the face of your, you know, opponents, but huge numbers means huge sales, so it's a smart business move.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want a Wii, I have to think, like, I know they're hard to find and all, but by now I think you should have been able to find one if you've been, like, searching constantly.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
Well, the reason I bought my Wii is finally coming to fruition, as they finally announced that Star Wars Force Unleashed, previously announced for the Xbox 360 and PS3, will be ported to the Wii with lightsaber support for the Wiimote.
Wait, when did they announce that?
This week. In addition to having the regular game, that'll be a scaled-down version of the PS3 and Xbox counterparts, they'll have another mode in it called Dual Mode, which is just one-on-one lightsaber battles using the Wiimote. And they'll also be using the Wiimote to control your Force powers. So now I'm in a conundrum as to which version of this game to get.
Well, I mean, okay, for the Dual Mode, that's kind of good. But, like, for a normal game, it's just going to be like Twilight Princess, where you're just swinging it equals, like, pushing the A button.
I'm fine with that as long as it has the dual mode. And plus, I think getting to use the Wiimote for the Force powers will be really cool. Like, could you imagine, like, picking up and throwing objects in the world with the Wiimote?
If it works, yeah, it'd be good.
Yeah. And then one last Wii news item. Nintendo has finally officially revealed the Smash Brothers Online plans.
Woo!
Meaning that it'll have it. Still use, you can do either random play or use your friend codes. And, so yeah, it's there. Good to know.
If you were to tell me that Smash Bros. Was going to have online play, it's what I would have expected it to have.
Yeah, it's surprising. It's just good to know that, like, they're not going to, like, rip out the feature after they didn't specifically say it at E3.
Right. That's the good news here is that it does have online play. Because they really, when they first announced the game, that was like the only thing they said was that it's going to be online. But since then, they haven't said anything about that. So it's good to know it is there.
Yeah. So now we move on to just the only singular Xbox news item I have for this week, really, except for one little later in the TGS stuff. The British Board of Film Classification has rated Mass Effect, which is coming in November. And they said it contains partial nudity and one sex scene. Apparently, if you're playing as a male character, you can, in the game, have sex with one of the female characters or a female alien. And if you're one of a female character, there is also lesbian sex involved.
That is kind of weird.
It's interesting.
No, it's not interesting. It's mostly just weird.
I'm just curious to see what kind of reaction this gets. Because, I mean, from the sound of it, it's not going to be anything worse than you'd see in, like, a PG-13 movie. But, like...
Yeah, but I thought Mass Effect was supposed to be, like, epic and kind of, like... good, not like have like a random sex scene in there like a stupid PG-13 movie would. You think there's gonna be some like significant meaning to the alien lesbian sex in Mass Effect?
If I trust anyone to handle this well in the game, it would be BioWare.
I don't think they are. I think this is gonna be stupid.
We'll see.
I think this sex scene is gonna be dumb.
Sex machine.
They'll probably be one of those next.
I just wonder, like, how much more controversy this will draw, aside from the fact that you'll be, like, you know, blowing people up in the game, but there will be a nipple, and that will, like, be the end of the world.
I don't think it's going to get any worse than, like, the slight controversy that Oblivion got, because this game's, for us, these are pretty big games, but, like, to the mass consumer, Mass Effect might go somewhat under the radar. Plus, this is probably a good deal into the game. Or who knows, maybe it's, like, one of the first things you do. Probably is, actually. If the ratings board already got to it, so whatever. It's dumb. But yeah. Mass Effect will still be sweet, hopefully.
Yeah. All right, so now we move on to the Tokyo Game Show. Last week we already talked about Microsoft had their pre-show conference, and this week was the Sony conference, and the show floor has opened up. So I'll start with what you all want to know about Metal Gear Solid 4 and its new trailer. What'd you think?
I like the trailer. I had to, like, watch it, and then I had to, like, read the transcripts later. I mean, there's some interesting stuff going on there. I mean, it's very Metal Gear Solid. It's just that new character is, like, your arms dealer, who's, like, it was kind of interesting to see because he's kind of, like, the wacky character that's always in a Metal Gear Solid games, but they don't usually, like, promote him in, like, the trailers that are trying to be serious, you know?
Well, I mean, it's a fine trailer. I'm excited to play this game. It's going to be good, I think. All the trailers for this game have really just been, here's one of the cutscenes, now here's another one of the cutscenes. Remember that awesome trailer they released for Metal Gear Solid 2 at E3 back in the day? Like, it was like an actual movie trailer. I don't know why they haven't done a trailer with the cool music, the tight editing that shows off all the characters.
Well, it's probably because they realized they had, like, I mean, this is the 9th trailer, I think, at this point. They can't do 9 trailers like that, but they can keep showing a little bit of the game like this.
I know, but I'd rather just get one really good trailer.
Yeah, but there was that one really cool trailer. I mean, it wasn't like the Metal Gear Solid 2 trailer, but like that first 15-minute long trailer they showed, that was pretty cinematic and awesome.
Not the same.
But I'll tell you,
I'm still excited for this game. I think it's going to be good.
How about at the end, though? I mean, what's that about with Snake is in Metal Gear Rex, and Liquid Ocelot is in Metal Gear Ray.
That's going to be sweet.
I mean, that's got to be kind of towards the end there.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people were saying that Hideo Kojima had confirmed that there was going to be some kind of spoiler in this trailer, so a lot of people have been avoiding it. I'm guessing either that's the spoiler, or they also revealed that that little girl, Sunny, is Olga's daughter. Olga was the ninja in Metal Gear Solid 2. I mean, it's nothing huge spoil.
If those are the biggest revelations in Metal Gear Solid 4, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah, seriously.
But, I mean... the game is looking really good. It's hard to complain about that trailer.
Yep. So remember the first time you played Metal Gear Solid and the ways it used the DualShock controller to move the controller around and massage your arm?
Yes.
It's coming back, baby.
Yeah.
The DualShock 3 has been officially announced, confirmed, what have you.
Because AJ, they finally figured out how to get the rumbling and the tilt function working at the same time.
And they also lost their lawsuit to Immersion.
What happened to rumbling being a last gen feature?
And I just you gotta love Sony because they for the last 12 months have been rumble's last gen. No one wants it. Motion's the future. And now they it's fine. I'm glad. I am very glad that the DualShock 3 is coming. But you just gotta love the way how they're like, we are very excited to announce this new controller. It has rumble and motion.
They're listening
it's
to
like,
the
yeah,
fans,
hi,
AJ.
The Wiimote says hi.
They're listening to the fans. The fans wanted it.
I guess.
Which goes to show you how out of tune they are with the fans when it takes them, 12 months to give them the controller they wanted.
Yeah, seriously. And then here's your thing now. It comes out December in Japan, but it's not going to be in the U.S. and Europe until spring 08.
And Phil Harrison himself says, I don't know why that is.
Yeah, it's like they're on the show floor. People are using them at TGS right now. Why don't you just stop making the six-axis and start making these?
As long as it's ready for Metal Gear Solid 4, I'll be okay. The thing that sucks is I have 4 six-axis controllers.
I have 2. And yeah, it's like...
I mean, those are going to be no good.
And here's the thing, too. Who's going to buy a controller now, knowing that a better one's coming? They kind of shot themselves in the foot by announcing it so early, I think, really. I know they had to announce it because, people want this. But I'm not going to buy a controller now for the next 6 months.
Well, yeah.
The only reason I could think of that is going to take that long. I mean, maybe supply is an issue. But you got to figure, we know the PS3 hasn't been selling that great. And I think they want to try to go through the inventory that's on shelf that's already packaged with a six-axis before they bring out this DualShock 3.
Right.
It's the only thing I could think of. But on the bright side, I mean, Metal Gear Solid 4, Uncharted, Ratchet & Clank Future, all the upcoming games are going to support it, and almost all the older games are going to get it patched in. Warhawk's going to get it, MotorStorm, so... That's good to hear. The only thing I dug around everywhere I could. I looked at all the sites. No one has explicitly said whether or not it'll still rumble for backwards compatibility games. I don't see why it wouldn't, but I just haven't seen anyone concretely say that. Like if you're playing a PS2 game on the PS3 with a DualShock 3, it'll rumble. So hopefully it does.
Well, we can hope.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
So yeah, getting off that. The much-vaunted Home has been pushed back till spring 08 to nobody's great surprise.
Well, it's kind of surprising considering how much, Home was a huge part of their E3 press conference.
Yeah, they said it was going to be coming out this fall, and, I mean, it's still in closed beta. I saw no way on earth that was going to come out so soon. I just, how do you even get into the beta? Do they just randomly send invites to your PS3?
I think it was completely random. Anyone who has an account could have been... a part of it, I think.
I mean, I really want to try Home. I think beyond the fact that we'll finally kind of get some Xbox Live functionality into the PSN, I think just the fact that you can share movies and stuff, you can invite people into your home room, just hang out, put up a video and all watch. It's like your own Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So Square had their event, and I know this is the one you're excited about.
All right.
We have not one, not two. But 3 brand new Kingdom Hearts games coming.
2 of which I'll be able to play.
Yeah. So the first one up for the PSP.
Oh, wait, are you really going to tell everybody about the Kingdom Hearts games?
Okay, do you want to do this?
Are you kidding me?
Okay, please, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, let's start with the worst to best, okay?
Okay.
First one is for mobile phones. Mobile gaming is a pretty big deal in Japan. They're like years ahead of us in terms of that, so we'll probably never see this game. This is like that. They had a Final Fantasy mobile game, too, that we'll never see. It's called Kingdom Hearts Coded, and it's like some sort of bizarre puzzle game that takes place after Chain of Memories and before Kingdom Hearts 2, and you're playing as Sora, but Sora is asleep during all this time, so it's like a computer Sora, so it sounds kind of bizarre and kind of weird and, looks like we're not going to miss much.
I heard it described as Kingdom Hearts meets The Matrix.
That makes sense, because, I mean, it's like a puzzle game, I think.
Oh, really?
So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I think. But I don't think there will be any big, like, revelations or anything that we're going to miss out on. Now, for the Nintendo DS, we have Kingdom Hearts 258/2 days.
358.
That's what I said.
You said 258.
I know I did not.
It's recorded. You'll hear it.
Yeah, we'll see. 358. And now, it was rumored at first that this was going to be like a sequel to Chain of Memories, like another card-based game. But it's actually a single-player 3D adventure game, or it could be a multiplayer 3D adventure game. And the playable characters include Roxas and some other Organization 13 members, including like fan favorite Axel and Saix and Zigbar. And including there's a mysterious 14th Organization member, some sort of female we don't know about. But, I mean, you know, we're not seeing anything, but it sounds like a pretty neat idea. Especially like, you know, some co-op play. That would be really cool.
Now, did they say if the co-op's going to be online or not?
No, I don't think they said anything about that.
I hope it is.
Well, it could be. I mean, honestly, I already know people who... Two people, probably three people, have DSs who'll be willing to play that one with me. Interesting right. thing, though, the 358 days, that actually might signify the exact amount of time between Roxas being created when Sora became a Heartless, thus his nobody Roxas was born, to Roxas kind of integrating back into Sora. That whole time frame may have been 358 days.
But it's divided by two.
Well, I don't know what that's about. Is it divided by two or / two?
I don't
like,
know.
350,
I guarantee that title's going to get changed when it comes to America.
Well, 358 days might not be a bad title. 358/2 days? I don't know. But then the really exciting one is Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep for the PSP. And this, I think this is kind of like the Chains of Olympus is for God of War. This is like that for Kingdom Hearts. And did you see the trailer at the end of Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix? Plus.
Yeah, I just watched it today, actually.
Okay, yeah, and I mean, that's a continuation of the trailer we got on Kingdom Hearts 2. All of that is for this game. Like, all those characters and all that scenario. I mean,
it's a pretty intense trailer.
It is, and that trailer is actually called Birth by Sleep, so it kind of makes sense.
Right.
And the main character in this game, everyone, like a lot of places, like, they're saying that it looks like, Zack?
Zack.
Yeah, it's not Zack. All his characters look the same. There's a new character named Terra, and I think he's the character you play as. And there's some other people. There's a kid named Ven who looks just like Roxas, which is confusing because he shouldn't exist yet. And, like, the main bad guy, you know, like that bald guy, is named Master Xenohort, which is it's the name of the person who created the nobody. He created the Heartless that was the main boss of Kingdom Hearts 1 and the nobody who's the main boss of Kingdom Hearts 2. But I don't know if it's the same person. So there's you're kind of understanding how confusing this game can be, can't
you?
Yeah, right?
Kingdom Hearts, it started off simply enough, and it became one of the most convoluted things ever by the time the second game rolled around.
Right, but Birth by Sleep takes place before Kingdom Hearts 1, although there's pictures of Sora in like some of the pictures I've seen, so I don't know how that factors into it. But before Kingdom Hearts 1, the two confirmed worlds so far are Olympus Coliseum and Sleeping Beauty, which has not been in any of them yet. So that's pretty good.
And, I didn't hear that because like I keep hearing all I was reading stuff about all three of these games, and like the only mention of a Disney character I ever saw was Mickey showing up at the end of the Birth by Sleep trailer.
Right. I don't know how much Disney will be in like 350. Like the whole Organization 13 thing has always been very Disney absent. So I bet the DS game might actually be very slim on the Disney parts.
See, but that's like the whole appeal of the game to me.
Well, I can understand that, but. Birth by Sleep will be your game then, because I think that really is going to be like a Kingdom Hearts game. Like
yeah,
we know
that's
right
what
now.
It sounds like.
Although, interesting enough, you won't be playing as Sora. I mean, at least not only Sora.
Yeah.
But
I still got to wonder what it would have been like if they never came up with Sora and it was the way it was really supposed to be, where you played as Mickey with Donald and Goofy by your side.
Wouldn't be nearly as popular.
Probably not, but I think I might have liked it better.
I don't know. I mean, you realize there are a lot of fans who clamor for like them to like get out of the Disney focus.
See,
that's
the whole point.
Well, yeah, but you have to understand. I can understand to a degree, though, because when you play like Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, there's kind of a lot of story in the beginning, and then in the middle, you go to all the Disney worlds and you do all this stuff, and then like the rest of the story is at the end.
Yeah.
So I can kind of, but still, I think it's just a pacing issue. But we don't know anything about release dates. I mean, trailers are being shown for these games, but they're not letting us see it. What's with this closed theater policy. How come we're not allowed to see any of these
shows? I don't understand
it.
It's like oh, the unwashed masses may not gaze upon our trailer just yet. We're going to release it to them next week. It's like, oh, come on, just show it to us.
I want to see these trailers.
We're the ones who's going to be buying your games.
But, you know, some Kingdom Hearts games I'm pretty happy. A little disappointed. I don't think I have Kingdom Hearts 3 yet. I bet we'll see, like, the secret video to that after you beat Birth by Sleep. If any one of these is a Kingdom Hearts sequel, it's Birth by Sleep. Yeah. Makes me glad I have a PSP.
Yeah.
And then you're going to talk about the Final Fantasy 13 and Versus 13 trailers?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch them, so I was hoping you did.
Well, you can't watch them. They're closed doors, but... Well,
I didn't even read about them then.
So. I read about them. I mean, it's apparently for both games, like, no gameplay is being shown at all. People are wondering if these games are even going to make 2008.
Well, I mean, like, they showed that first trailer for 13 with that chick, like, jumping around and shooting stuff, and I'm like...
And there was kind of, like, a menu, but, like, I don't think... You can't really believe that that is a game menu of any sort.
This looks great, but how am I going to play that?
But apparently it was very good looking. Now, versus 13, did you ever see the first trailer for that?
Yeah, the guy, like, walking down the steps.
Yeah, well, like, the trailer was... It was very reminiscent of that style, but apparently, like... That trailer, just, like, cinematically is so good, and, like, the art style is so great that, like the crowds are freaking out for it. Like, people are getting really excited about Versus 13 at the show.
I just can't get excited about just a pure CG trailer, because that means nothing to me anymore. That used to work, like, 5-10 years ago. But, I mean, especially Square, they've been making good CG since the PS1. Of course they're going to make good CG. I need to see what the game looks like.
I would mostly agree with you, but Versus 13, it's indicative of something for me. Like, I'm getting a sense of a game world that looks very interesting to me.
Well, that's, like, it's one thing the trailers can do. Like, they can establish the game world.
Right. The trailer opens up with the phrase, a fantasy set in reality.
Ooh.
So, you know, it's kind of interesting. And, come on, when you saw Burning Crusade CG trailer, that did nothing for you?
Oh, that got me. Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay, you're right. It gets you excited for, like, the world of the game. But I like the gameplay itself. It doesn't do anything for it, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that gameplay-wise, Versus 13 is going to be very Kingdom Hearts-ish.
Yeah.
And
well, it's made by the same guy, right?
I think so. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, he's putting his name on a lot of games these days after Kingdom Hearts was such a success.
Do all the characters have zippers on their costumes?
I can only hope. It's kind of weird though. Kingdom Hearts is like their number two franchise right now, at least in America. I mean, I know they got Dragon Quest, but. You know, it's a big deal. But apparently Versus 13 specifically is a big talk at the show.
Cool. So hopefully all these trailers will show up on, like, the PlayStation Store or something.
I really want to see these trailers.
Because now you can access the PlayStation Store on your PC if you live in Japan. How's that for a segue?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't seem to find this feature nearly as exciting as everyone else does.
Well, the big deal about it is that you'll be able to download stuff to your PSP. Using right. the PC as the front end. I don't know why you can't just access it on your PSP, but until they do release that, like, presumably they'll put up the actual PSP demos and downloadable content and trailers and stuff, and then you just hook up your PSP and it'll all work like that. So it's a step closer to finally getting a PSP store. And then the last thing, since we're talking about so many RPGs that I have, is Sakaguchi was showing off his next RPG for the 360, Lost Odyssey, which will be shipping on 4 DVDs.
Really? Now, that one was always the much more interesting-looking one to me.
Yeah. I mean, apparently the reason why this is taking up so much space is, like, the game uses a lot of CG. Like, you remember that first trailer they showed where it was the guy running around CG, and it very smoothly blended right into the gameplay.
Well, yeah, that's like a staple of Final Fantasy games. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, not to spoil it too much, but I started Final Fantasy VII. And, I mean, it's even still impressive today the way that game transitions into, like, the CG sections.
Oh, when that train comes in and the squall jumps
out. Yeah, but even more, like, there's a lot... I mean, just in the first part, there's been a lot of moments like that.
Yeah.
So that's why games used to take up 3 discs and 4 discs back then. And,
yeah,
I mean,
Mass Effect, that game's going to be huge, and that's just a DVD because there's nothing pre-rendered.
Right.
So, a lot of people are saying, like, oh, this should be on the PS3, Blu-ray. I'm like, yeah, it's just because it has CG. Relax. We swapped disc for years and years. It's not going to kill you.
You know, people used to think it was cool when a game came with more than one disc.
Yeah, seriously. That used to be a big deal.
Yeah.
It's 3 discs. Oh, my God. This game is huge.
Imagine if, after Final Fantasy VII, an RPG came out for the PlayStation that wasn't, like, more than one disc. People would have shunned
laughable.
It. All right. Is there anything else significant TGS?
That's the news I got.
All right. That sounds yeah, that's all I can think of. Man, I'm really excited about Kingdom Hearts stuff.
I could tell.
Well, you think we'll get Birth by Sleep this year here?
Oh no. No.
Oh, 2008
why not? For sure.
Oh, you think it's just a PSP game?
It's still basically a PS2 game.
No.
I mean, it's just announced.
Maybe we'll get the DS one this year.
Maybe. I wouldn't hold my breath, though.
I remember, because when they announced Chain of Memories and Kingdom Hearts 2 at the same time, Chain of Memories came out a lot earlier than Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yeah, that was like a 2D...
But they announced GTA Kingdom Hearts 2 way too early when they announced it. Like, the only thing they had to show for it was, like, the concept picture of Sora's new outfit. They're showing a trailer, at least, this time.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm really excited about Kingdom Hearts. It's hard for me to get off that subject, so I'll just move it on. We're going to go to the best ever.
Oh, boy.
I had a... You know, I'm always trying to, like, kind of keep the best ever, like, kind of keep it in theme with something that's going on now. So we're doing a little something different for the best ever this week. It's the best game controller ever.
Aha.
With the announcement of the DualShock 3. So, you know, it probably won't take as long, but, you know, it'll be a fun thing to talk about. So what are some standout controllers for you?
Well, I still think, like, if you want to talk of the older school controllers, like pre-analog, I think that the 6-button Sega Saturn pad was probably one of the best.
Yeah.
Because the Saturn especially had a lot of 2D fighters, and that controller was really well suited for 2D fighting. It is, I mean, to a lesser extent, that was also true of the 6-button Genesis controller.
Yeah, I guess so. There wasn't a whole lot of support for that 6-button Genesis controller. And a 3-button Genesis controller, I mean, for like Sonic when you only had one button anyways, it was fine. But for a lot of games, it was a weird choice.
Yeah, it was just that, like, you know, because, like, it was just hard to navigate, like, laterally like that. I mean, the SNES pad kind of set the standard layout. I mean, we're still using that same basic layout.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously that pad was, you know, a big deal. It invented shoulder buttons and everything like that. But, it, like, if I had to pick right now my absolutely favorite controller, I'm going to go with the Xbox 360 pad.
I figured you would.
Yeah.
That's a very tight controller.
I just like, because, you know, like, I mean, it took that Dreamcast idea of the analog triggers. They're really good. I like the pressure-sensitive buttons. And I like, the biggest difference between, like, a DualShock and the Xbox pad is that the Xbox has the analog stick on the same plane as the face buttons, and the D-pad is made secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's just a lot more comfortable because, I mean, I understand why the sticks were like that in the first DualShock because, like, it was still kind of new and not a lot of games were supporting it. But, I mean, honestly, almost every game you play now uses the analog sticks. And so I like having it in the more dominant position.
Right. Oh, you have to give DualShock some credit, though. It was the first dual analog controller for a console.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
And it was also the first controller to have, I mean, the first PlayStation controller was the first one to have two shoulder buttons.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty big standard now. I'll tell you what, which one I didn't like. I didn't like the original Xbox controller. And not just the big one. I mean, even the Type S. The concept of the black and white button, I hated.
Well, the thing, I think they got misutilized because when Microsoft first showed off that controller, they really talked about those buttons being more utility buttons, like for like activating voice chat or even like functions like they had in Halo where it was just switching grenades and things like that. And people tried to use them like they were like 6-face buttons, and that's not really what they were supposed to be used for.
Right. Well, it's just like with the GameCube controller, the Z button was at its best when it was a menu button. And most people did. GameCube controller I liked a good deal, actually.
Yeah, that was comfortable. I sometimes look forward to a GameCube game because I just like that controller. It had a good feel to it.
It was very easy to push any button together with the A button.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good combo. It was definitely my preferred controller for Soul Calibur, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like the Xbox 360 controller, I guess. It's very comfortable. It works.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's the best controller. I mean, that's why... I mean, maybe the PS3 pad will feel a little better once it gets the rumble, because one thing they said in addition to it finally rumbling is it finally has some heft to it, too, now, because of all the more stuff inside of it.
There still hasn't really been a controller, though, that has had good analog control and good D-pad. The PS2's D-pad's miserable. The 360's isn't all that good. The GameCube's was really small.
Yeah, I don't. I it's just like I guess they just don't put as much focus on the D-pad because not as much stuff uses it. But now with all these classic games coming out,
right, for the 360, the D-pad, sometimes yeah.
We know the classic controller has a pretty good D-pad.
You know, the classic controller is a pretty nice controller.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about the Wiimote.
The Wiimote, I mean...
I think the problem with the Wiimote is that it works very well for certain games, and it works horribly for others.
Exactly. You have to really design for it, and a lot of people just don't, because they're just trying to make quick, all like, right. mini-game cash-ins on the Wii and things like that.
All right. So, let's wrap up this short best week ever. I'm going to say, I guess you convinced me, Xbox 360.
Yep.
Best controller ever. Maybe the Super Nintendo most important controller ever. Even NES, maybe.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Geez, when you think about controller, like, standards, the only ones that Nintendo didn't invent were dual analog and two shoulder buttons.
Yeah.
Those were Microsoft is a very good controller, but they didn't invent any of the standards when you think about it.
Well,
interesting, huh?
The thing about the Microsoft controller is it's not revolutionary, it's evolutionary. They took what had already been established and they just refined it.
Wait, you know what? You know what I miss?
Huh?
The VMU and the Dreamcast controller?
That was cool.
But I digress. 360, that's the best controller.
All right.
So let's talk about our weekend gaming. You probably want to talk about Team Fortress 2.
Oh, God, yes.
Don't go into too much details about it. You don't have to go through every class again.
Okay, so just let me give some quick backstory. I first played...
Oh, jeez. Don't go into too much detail. Okay, let me give you some backstory.
I've been preparing
Christ.
This, right? Let me have it.
Go.
Okay, so I first played Team Fortress Classic back when it came out. It was like late 98, early 99. Fell in love with the game immediately. I joined a clan. I was playing in leagues. I was playing like every weekend and all this, and I just loved that game. It was my first real taste of online multiplayer. It was brilliant. In 1999 at E3, Valve showed off Team Fortress 2, which took the game in a more realistic direction, promised all this great new tech, and we all waited, and they never said anything. And then it was finally in 2004, when the Half-Life 2 source code was leaked, there were mentions of Team Fortress 2 within the source code, so then everybody got all excited, oh, Team Fortress 2 is finally coming. And then it was last summer that they showed the first trailer showing off the game and its crazy new art style that was inspired by drawings of the early 20s. And so the game officially comes out on the PC, Xbox 360, and on October 10th, the PS3 version coming a few weeks later. But if you pre-order the Orange Box on Steam, the Orange Box consists of Half-Life 2, Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Half-Life 2 Episode 2, Portal, and Team Fortress 2. You can, right now, begin playing the Team Fortress 2 beta, which really is, it's the full game. It's just a little early, there's a few little things missing, and like maybe a little bit of balance issue, but it's the game. And so after 8 years of waiting for Team Fortress 2, I am playing it, and I'm playing it a lot, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I got to play a little bit myself. It definitely is kind of what I wanted from a Team Fortress 2.
It is exactly what I wanted. I mean, especially after seeing that first trailer with the new art style and then seeing these, you know, the Meet the Heavy, Meet the Soldier, Meet the Engineer, it actually achieves a lot of what they showed off in that trailer. Like, the animation's incredible. If you're, like, dead and you're in spectator mode and you zoom around, like, you will see the heavy weapon guy start yelling and laughing as he's shooting his gun. Guys will insult each other as they kill each other. Like, they'll say appropriate things to the situation automatically. Everything animates beautifully. The game runs rock solid on my machine, even with every setting turned up. And it's just so much fun. It's so good. I love it so much.
It's very good. I could say a lot of good things about it, but, I mean, you did. I agree with everything you say. It's awesome. It's probably going to be one of the best multiplayer shooters to come out in a while. I have a couple complaints, though.
All right, let's hear them.
Why is 2-4 the only capture the flag map?
I think, I'm sure more will be coming. I think they kind of wanted to push the command mode.
Command mode's fun, but there's like what, 3 different maps for that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have the developer commentaries in this, like they had in Half-Life 2 Episode 1 for 3 of the maps, and I listened to them. And what they talk about how they made the decision to, instead of trying to make a whole bunch of maps, they decided to make a few maps that were really good and really detailed, had so much to them that they had a lot more replayability so you wouldn't tire them as quickly. And you can, that's definitely evident in the design of all the Macs. I mean, except 2-Fort, but we've been playing 2-Fort for 10 years.
Okay.
But they're coming. And, I mean, once like, the fan base gets its hand on the mapping tools for this game, you'll start seeing Team Fortress 2 recreations of Rock 2 and, like, the old style of, well, that's a Capture the Flag map and Canal Zone. That'll all be coming.
Okay. Another complaint. Don't all the maps seem a little small?
I don't think so.
No, I think, like, 2-Fort's probably the biggest map. Like, the Command Point maps are, you know, collectively they're bigger, but you always play, you know, little bits at a time.
I think it just kind of encourages, like, they don't want the game to get too spread out, because it works best when everyone's close together and they're forced to work as a team like that. It kind of discourages people becoming the lone wolf.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, like the spy has a hard time functioning right now, because, like, how are you supposed to just walk over there and pretend you're one of them when you have to, like, walk through a battlefield?
That's why you got to use your cloak.
Yeah, the cloak doesn't last very long. And then the scout has... I think it hurts the scout a little bit. I kind of miss some bigger...
Oh, no. A lot of people in the games are complaining the scout's overpowered, actually.
Well, yeah, I think his gun is a little strong. I wouldn't say overpowered. But, I mean, I don't know. I like that there's, like... I like that the battle is happening almost, like, in one spot the whole time in a way. But another time... Like, there's something to be said about, you know, single encounters with a certain person. Like, there's no big map like Rock 2 here, or even something as big as Canal Zone. I really think that a couple of those maps would be fun. I mean, I understand why, this is good, right? I mean, I just wish there was a couple big maps.
Like I said, they're coming. They'll be coming.
Well, maybe. We'll see. But, yeah, it's good. I mean, I like a lot of little touches. I love the way the sentry guns animate when you put those down. Engineer might be the most fun class to play, really.
Uh-huh.
I love, just in, like, that room where, like, the briefcases, how you can kind of see, like, the little command center in the window.
Uh-huh. That's really cool.
I mean, this isn't really so much a complaint, but it's just me, like playing... The most fun I had was playing 2-4 and seeing, like, all the neat stuff they did with it. Like, taking the same design, but just making it look really cool.
Yeah, and so, then I like the tweaks. I mean, like, I like that you have to capture back in the basement rather than the battlements.
Well, I don't know. I haven't actually been able to, like, play a 2-4 match, but just ran around by myself. But
right.
For me... Getting to go up to the battlements, it always meant that you had that last second threat of a sniper.
Yeah,
but
I like too how they got rid of the elevator. It's just a ramp now, so that makes, like, defense a little trickier in that map.
And now this isn't a complaint; it's just, you know, me. But, like, I kind of wish there was a bit more recreated map, not recreated, but, like, you know, Team Fortress Classic maps in here. They're kind of spiffied up because really, like, Well's in there; it's a completely different thing. Dust Bowl is pretty different.
Dust Bowl's pretty similar, actually.
Is it? I don't remember Dust Bowl that well. I never really
Dust Bowl
it.
Was released later in the life of TFC, but
right.
It's pretty close.
I never played the Command Point ones that much towards the end. But, you know, I wish, like, there was a classic Well, Canal Zone, Rock 2. Just because I enjoy 2-Fort so much. Yeah, I know community stuff, but you have to remember, I'm going to be playing this on the Xbox 360.
Sucker.
Well, I can't run games on my PC, trust me. I try to play Team Fortress 2. I spend most of my time trying to get into a game. waiting for it to load, so. But Team Fortress 2 is very good. You know what I got to play a little bit?
What's that?
Lair.
Oh, how was it?
Well, my friend, he told me he bought it, and I was immediately kind of like, what? He's like, no, man, it's pretty good. Everyone's being too harsh on it. You have to play it. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll give it a chance. And he's probably wrong, and the reviewers are probably right. And, I mean, like, the motion control is one thing. Yeah, it's not perfect. They should have given you analog control. But there are more significant design flaws than that. Like, it is so annoying, so incredibly annoying, the way it, like, takes you away from the game, puts you in, like, those little 10-second cutscenes to show you that what's going to happen or something like that. I mean, I read one review that put it perfectly. Like, there's, like, some sort of, like, giant, I don't know, it's an animal that's a blimp. Let's just call it a blimp. And, like,
mantas or something like that, right?
Yeah, and it explodes. Why does the game have to, like, show you a cutscene of it exploding? Why can't it just explode?
Yeah, exactly it. It's everyone's like, oh, the motion controls aren't that bad. And, yeah, from everything I read, motion controls is, like, just one of the many, many problems with this game.
Besides the controls, like, everything else as well, it's just so complicated. And I am one, like, whenever I read that, like, oh, the controls are too complicated, I think, like, okay, how complicated can they be? I've very rarely ever found that as a very good criticism of a game. But here is insane. How many buttons you have to hold down to be locked onto somebody and shoot them with a fireball. It just, you know, plus you're whirling around the whole time, trying not to hit the analog stick, because that changes your camera. I almost wish the analog stick didn't do anything. So that when I accidentally hit it, it wouldn't mess everything up.
I just like to, like Julian Eggebrecht, who's the lead designer of this game and who has been fervently trying to defend it, he keeps saying that, like it's the hardcores who are having the most trouble with the motion controls. This game was made for the casual player, and they get right into it, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just thinking to myself, what casual gamer has a PS3 and then is like, oh, look, a game where you fly around on dragons? That sounds right up my alley.
You know, I like think he's lying. I don't think casual gamers would like this game at all.
No, the casual gamers are playing Wii Sports, pal. Flying around on a dragon, shooting at other creatures and massive armies is the very definition of what a hardcore game is. I mean, every gamer wants that game. This game was the reason I bought a PS3. And when I heard it sucked, like, my heart broke, because I was like, great, now I've got this Blu-ray player.
And the art style, why does everything have to be Lord of the Rings now?
Yeah.
I like Lord of the Rings as much as the next guy, like, Christ. Okay, Lair doesn't deserve any more time.
One more thing I just want to throw out there. Did you see how Eggebrecht was kind of bashing the motion controls in Warhawk, saying that, like, it only works for biological creatures, not mechanical? But the funny thing is, when I played the Warhawk beta, the motion controls worked perfectly for me.
Funny you say that. The next thing, I mean, he brought Warhawk over too, my friend.
We got to
play that, and that's a good deal of fun. I like Warhawk a lot.
Yeah, it's in my Gamefly queue. I definitely want to try out the full version before I decide if it's worth it. I mean, just the thing is, between Team Fortress 2, Halo 3, the Call of Duty 4 multiplayer beta, like, how many online shooters do I need?
But Warhawk's great because, I mean, the problem with Battlefield games is that when you're just, like, an infantryman, you have no chance against vehicles for the most part, especially planes. Planes were even kind of useless in those games because they would, especially like after World War II, the planes would just go too fast and you couldn't really control anything, at least for me. I mean, I'm sure advanced players would be like, oh, you can get used to it. I never could. But in Warhawk, the hover mode makes things easier. I don't have to use the tilt function, and I choose not to. And I mean, even when you're just a person and you get a rocket launcher, you could shoot down a Warhawk.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very well balanced. The maps are pretty big. It's a very fun game. It's well designed. That's about it for me besides, you know, the other thing. Chris, I mean, our other brother guy, Eternal Sonata, he's been playing a lot of that. It looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, I liked the demo when I played it way back when. And he loves it, so I gotta give it another look, I guess.
It's interesting, though. JRPGs, they're always reviewed so differently by different sites, you know? Like, GameSpot gave it an 8.5. 1UP gives it a 6, you know? Just the way people treat JRPGs. They have different expectations and different things that they want from them.
Yeah. Well, one other thing I played this week is I've kind of this thing with Halo 2 where I hadn't beaten it by the time the Xbox 360 came out, and there still is no easy way of getting your Xbox One saves to your 360, and like, so I hadn't been playing it, and then when Halo 2 came out for Vista, I was like, okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna buy it for Vista. I'm gonna play through the single player. That way, I could get all the achievements, and I'll finally beat the darn game. So I went to go play it earlier this week after I hadn't played it for like a month or two, and I put in my game disc, and I launch up the game, and it says, like, there was something wrong, and it had to reinstall some files or something. I was like, all right, go ahead. So I do that, and I load up the game, and my profile's gone. And I was like, what the heck? So then, like, I try to, like, remake my profile, and, you know, I type in, you know, profile name, AdgeGuy. It says, that name's already taken. I go, well, I know it is, but you don't know that. Why do you know that? What's going on? So, like, after digging around in endless forms and stuff, I just decided, oh, great, my game save's gone. I was about halfway through the game, and I was like, I don't want to play through the first half again. It'll be the third time. I mean, the game's good, but, like, it's just getting a little tedious. So I'm like, okay, screw it. I'm just going to go hook up my Xbox, and I'm probably only, like, an hour or two away from the end, so I'll play it, and I'll beat it finally. It took me about 30 minutes to get it hooked up because I couldn't find all the cables and everything, but I finally hooked it all up to the TV. I had to disconnect the PS3 because I was out of inputs. I set it all up. I boot up the game. I shot 6 brutes. I shot some snipers. I rode around on a wraith for a while. I shot 6 more brutes. I shot the final boss, and the game was over in 12 minutes.
Oh, you picked a good time to quit.
I know. That's the second time I did that now after the whole Half-Life 2 Episode 1 thing. And, I mean, I know I'm late to the party on this, but, man, did that ending suck.
Yeah. Welcome to one of the most controversial topics of 2004.
Thank you, thank you. The good news is that Halo 3 comes out next week, so I guess I don't have to wait that long to see what happens.
Kind of convenient. Okay, that's it for what I've been playing, really. Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good, too.
Okay. All right, let's get to the real meat of this podcast.
Oh, boy.
Mike's adventures in Final Fantasy. don't you love that?
It is very pleasant.
Yeah, I could just listen to that. All right, but you got to get another song ready.
All right.
Because I have beat Final Fantasy VI. Woo! All right.
Congratulations, you are halfway
more than
done,
halfway through.
Then
I can now say that I have beaten most of the Final Fantasy games. Take that. This is kind of a badge of pride, though, because how many times have I started Final Fantasy VI?
A lot.
Yeah, like four at least. To finally have beaten it, you know, it feels pretty good. And, I mean, you know, I talked about how good VI was for, you know, last week. It, in terms of production, it blows the other games before it out of the water. Probably a lot of, you know, games in general before it out of the water. Like, game mechanic-wise, it's not too different, but just visuals, there's a lot of things it does. Music is... unless I'm mistaken, it might be one of the first games, maybe at least Final Fantasy games, where like each character has a theme. It wasn't just like, here's the battle theme, here's like a love theme, here's this town has a theme, this final boss has a theme, this dungeon has a theme. No, characters have a theme, moods have a theme, you know? And that's, I just read this really long kind of, it was a review, but it was more of an essay about how like Final Fantasy VI could kind of be considered an opera. In that sense, it's kind of interesting,
right.
But I really enjoyed the ending, like the Kefka fight, just really good stuff. The music for that fight was awesome. I almost feel like I worried so much about making sure I was strong for it. I think I made my characters a little overpowered, because like I had like cells I had up to level 75, because I was working real hard to get this one rare item from these dinosaurs that like turned all your MP down to one cost for every spell. Plus I had dual cast on her and the spell quick, so I was able to cast Ultima 5 times in a single turn, and Ultima is the best spell in the game, so it does 9,999 damage. So, you know, I did practically 50,000 damage a turn.
It's pretty decent.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculously strong. But even still, it was a lot of fun. I love how in the last dungeon you get to bring along 12 characters, so that's all of the characters in except for two, including, like, you know, like the secret characters. So, you know, I just brought everyone along except for, like, the Yeti and Go-Go the Mime.
Did you end up getting all the secret characters?
Yeah, I did.
Cool.
I pretty much got everything. I got all, yeah. Like I said, I really wanted to make sure I had everything ready. I did all, like, the side quests I can do to see the characters pass and stuff. But, you know, it's finished. It has one of the longest endings, I guess, for a Final Fantasy game. I almost wish there was a bit more. Just, like, I really want to see, like, where these characters go afterwards. But, you know, of course I'm going to want more. I liked it so much.
Right.
But Final Fantasy VI, it's very good. Definitely one of the best in the series. But, I mean, now I can, you know, now I get to say, do I like Final Fantasy VI more or do I like Final Fantasy XII more?
I was just wondering, which one did you think was better?
Probably still going to say XII.
Wow.
XII was really good. I mean, a lot of people knock XII story. I think XII story was fine. I think it gets a little weird at the end. I think the problem with Final Fantasy XII story is that they bring in some spiritual stuff that didn't need to be there because it was such a good, like, just, you know, a political story. Besides that, XII was good, had a lot of characters. VI has the most characters of any Final Fantasy game. It might be too many because every character doesn't really get as much development as you might want. A lot of them are very well developed, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So XII was probably still the favorite now, and I started VII. Luckily, a friend of mine has VII, so I don't have to go pay, like, a bajillion dollars for it. So I started VII, and, like, at first I was, like, kind of worried that, like, VII was going to be really outdated, and I, like, might not be able to get into it, but it's really not that much of a problem.
That's good.
And, I mean, it's kind of weird. Every time the transition is always weird for me, because I end the last game, like, as a god and doing all this damage, and I start the next game with just attacking.
Yeah.
For, like, 37 damage. But I'm going through it. Like, the presentation is as I could understand why Final Fantasy VII was as popular as it was, because it did things with presentation and cinematics that games weren't doing back then.
Right.
It's very exciting to play. It all things considered, it's aged pretty well so far. And I'm looking forward to play more of it. I'm only about like an hour and a half into it.
Right. Are you playing it on a PS2 or the PS3?
I'm playing it on a PS2.
Yeah. I would have played on the 3 because it didn't rumble, and you would have gotten the upscale. I'm just curious to see what it would have looked like.
PS2 games look horrible on the PS3. I don't want to try PS1 games on there. But one more thing I want to say. Well, the music's good, but that's not what I want to say. Music's very good so far. See, I was about to say something, and then you distracted me with the stupid PS3 thing. Why would I play on the PS3? It's upstairs. I'd wake everybody up.
Sorry.
Downstairs, you know, here I could play it downstairs and be all good with myself. I think that's it then, I guess. I'm done.
Okay.
All right. Let's get to the weekly downloadable games.
All right. So first up, we got the Wii's Virtual Console released last Monday. The first one is a favorite of mine, Yoshi's Story for the Nintendo 64.
Yeah, I saw that.
Is that the one where they were singing
the apple? Yeah.
Yeah, they like that apple.
You know, Yoshi's Story didn't get a lot of love because a lot of people complained it was short. I almost kind of like that I could beat it in a day.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but it's almost arcadey in a way. It's like a throwback. It plays like Yoshi's Island. There's no baby Mario. It's a very pretty game. I really liked it. I'm glad it's on Virtual Console. I might have to get it sometime.
Yep.
Then get next the black up and is... white Yoshi. They liked every fruit.
Next up is the Super Thunder Blade for the Genesis. It's I believe it's just one of those kind of scrolling shooters where you're in a helicopter.
Yeah.
So there you go. And World that. Class Baseball for the TurboGrafx. Another baseball game.
It's interesting how many sports games they're releasing on Virtual Console.
I know, it's weird. Like, you know, like do we really need like 10 different baseball games on the VC? Like, just pick the good one.
You have to be impressed, though. When they first announced Virtual Console, did you really think there would be this many games coming out for it?
Well, no, because I didn't think they'd be releasing like so much obscure stuff. I really just want them to get to the good games, you know?
Well, no, they mostly have. What's missing?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they're getting there. They have to save some aces up their sleeves.
I guess.
And they're adding more platforms. They said Neo Geo's coming, TurboGrafx CD's coming.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's a very good service.
I just wonder how they're going to get a TurboGrafx CD game on there, because, I mean, the Wii's flash memory is only half a gig.
We'll see.
Yeah. So on the Xbox Live Arcade, we have a game called Geon Emotions. Did you try this?
No. I will be tonight, because I have to write the full circle, but...
It was surprisingly good. The basic gameplay of it is you pick this, you're this cube, and you pick which emotion you are, and it basically just decides which one of the many power-ups are in the game is more powerful for you. And what you do is the board is, you're on the top half of the board, and your enemy's on the bottom. And I mean, when I say the bottom, I mean, like, if you could, like, look down through the floor and see through, they're, like, standing on the other side. And you just kind of flop around as this cube from square to square, and you have to collect these, like, they're basically power pellets, like in Pac-Man. And then once you have enough, you go to the edge and you push the X button, you flip over to their side, and then you just need to rush into the center and score a goal. And then you get different kind of attack power-ups and stuff you can do to stop them from scoring. Like, you could crash into them, or you can, like, set up a thing that, like, you leave behind, like a trail behind you that's like an electric fence. And then after you score, you just go back on your side and you get more dots and go back. And it's actually pretty neat. I was playing a tutorial and I was like, okay, this is just Pac-Man. But the next level, like, had like a loop in it and stuff. It was pretty cool. So definitely check that out. On the PlayStation Network, we got Loco Roco Coco Reco. It's a mouthful.
Wait, did that come out?
Yeah, it came out today.
Is it a Loco Roco game? Like, for real?
I heard it described as like kind of more of an interactive screensaver. Apparently, you control this butterfly. It was just announced as we went to record the show, so I didn't really get to check out much about it. But I've read so far hasn't been very positive.
Okay.
So unless you're a huge Loco Roco fan, I don't think that's worth getting. I just wish there was a demo. Then we'd know.
Right.
But, oh, well. Then Game Tap saw some releases as well. We've got a game for the PC called Combat Mission Beyond Overlord. It's a World War II real-time strategy game with turn-based elements. I never played it.
All right.
Next up is a squad-based shooter called Project Eden that I remember getting good reviews back in the day when it came out. Just it never really caught on.
God, so squad-based shooters.
Out. Yeah.
Ugh, I hate that genre. Just go on.
Then we have a World War II flight sim from 1994 called Aces Over Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And some game called God's Land of Infinity that I know absolutely nothing about.
Bad week for GameTap. Yeah. All right, let's get to the real game releases.
Oh, wait, I should add real quick, though. GameTap announced coming soon is Typing of the Dead.
Oh. Well,
I'm excited.
Interesting. All right, on September 25th, we got this obscure game coming out for the Xbox 360 called Halo 3.
Yeah, I heard it's it might be pretty popular.
I guess so. You know, it's going to be kind of weird to play it. I mean, it's kind of... I'm not a huge Halo fan, but, like, even for Halo 2, I was a little pumped to, like, at least play it. But maybe because I've already played so much of this one with the beta.
Yeah.
I don't know. But there's Halo 3. We'll talk about more next week, I'm sure. We'll tell you what we think. That's weird. Next week, we're going to be able to talk about what we thought of Halo 3.
Yeah.
Skate's coming out for the PS3 September 24th. We talked about that. Loki, Heroes of Mythology for the PC September 28th. Play as one of four heroes from Norse, Greek, Aztec, and Egyptian mythology as you fight legions of enemies in order to re-entomb Seth, an evil god. I like how the evil god is named Seth.
You gotta be like a freaking classics major, understand what's going on.
Seth sounds like the jerk who lives in the dorm next to you, not an evil god. Alright, we got Juice 2, Hot Import Nights for PS3 and PSP, September 4th. I think we talked about that last time.
Yeah, no, so
the PS3
do?
Games are always a week after the 360 ones. We got Company of Heroes opposing Franz. I thought we talked about this.
I tried to get
version,
to the beta.
September
24th. The beta wasn't working for me very well.
Well, it's coming out September 24th. Standalone game. It's not an expansion pack. Settlers, Rise of an Empire, PC, September 25th. Never really cared for that series.
The Settlers games, they're weird. They're like an RTS, but they're also kind of like Sims, maybe a little bit. I don't know.
Well, we got Jackass the Game
for
PS2, September 25th. I think it's a bunch of mini-games. I don't know. Stranglehold, PS3, September 25th. Get the special edition, and you'll get that movie with it.
Hard-boiled in HD.
Yeah, yeah. Soul Nomad and the World Eaters, PS2, September 25th. An RPG with squad-based tactical elements. Okay. That's not, like, a Dissidia guys who made that, is it? Because I'm looking at the box, and it looks kind of like something they would do.
I don't know.
Who knows? CSI, Crime Scene Investigation, Hard Evidence, 360 and PC.
Surely as good as the other games.
Yeah, this one's coming.
360?
Yeah, this one's got a console release. You gotta give it that. Dragon Blade, Wrath of Fire for the Wii, September 25th.
The heck is that?
I don't know. Maybe it's better than Lair, though. NBA 08, PS3, PS2, PSP, September 25th. It's a basketball game. Ninja Bread Man for the Wii, September 25th. What the heck is this?
Never heard of it.
Looks awesome. You play the gingerbread man as a ninja.
The Shrek gingerbread man or a different one?
Yeah, well, it's not that one. It's a different one.
Okay.
I don't know. I never heard of this. It looks sweet. I mean, it's coming out the same day as Halo. It has to be good. Hour of Victory, PC, September 24th. World War II base FPS. Getting in there the day before Halo Smart. And Ghost in the Sheet for PC. September 25th. Puzzle game. I don't know. But, you know, it's Halo week. Enjoy that. All right. Well, that wraps it up for us.
Yep.
I know I want to play some Final Fantasy VII.
I'm going to play Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, that's great. I wish I could. When does it really come out?
October 10th.
Okay, it's not as long as I thought. Okay, good. No. I'll be playing it soon enough.
Yeah, play some Halo 3 in the meantime.
Yeah, maybe not. All right. Well, that's it for this week. Another reminder, Full Circle goes up on Fridays now. Tomorrow will be the first... today, I guess. We're recording this on Thursday. It'll be the first Friday Full Circle. If you've been reading that, you know, keep heading on there.
Yep, and be sure to check out our blog over at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. I put up some Team Fortress 2 impressions if you want to read more of what I thought of the game there, and some other malarkey leading up to my excitement of the Team Fortress 2 release, so be sure to check that out.
Alright, so have a good week, everyone. Enjoy your Halos if you're into that kind of thing. Most of you probably are, judging from the massive sales the series has gotten so far. So have fun. We'll see you next time.
Believe.
Finish the fight.
Alright.